The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called to his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, "And you, how much do you owe?" He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, "Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones, and the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, good evening. I want to begin today with this gospel that we just heard, because it can be a little confusing if we don't understand what's going on. So there is this steward, and he finds out that he's going to be fired because he's been a bad steward, he's been dishonest, and so he finds out he's going to be fired. And so what does he do? He says, I can't work. I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. What can I do so that once my master fires me, I'll have someone else to kind of hire me or at least take care of me?" And so what he does is he gets together his master's debtors. And the way that stewardship often worked in our Lord's time was that a steward would have full control over his master's property, and it would be the steward who would work out the deals with people. So his master has all these different debtors. One person owes him this much, one person owes him that much. And the way it works is when you're the steward and you're going to give some of your master's wealth away, you tell them to write the promissory note. "I owe you, 100 whatever, or 50 whatever." But the thing that the stewards would do is, in order to kind of make money themselves, they would take their own cut. So if I'm this guy's steward, and you want to come to me and borrow some of his wealth, I'm going to say, "Well, you want to borrow 50 of his stuff? Write a promissory note for 100. Because then when you return his 50, I'm going to get a cut of that," right? So that's what's kind of going on here. So each of these debtors who owes something to this steward who's about to be fired, to his master, they know that he takes a cut of each and every one of them, right? And so what he's doing, he's kind of being sneaky here, and the real word is a false prudence. What he's doing is he's saying, "Well, they all know that I'm taking a cut of what they owe to my master, so I'll give them back their promissory notes and tell them to write a promissory note for what they actually owe my master, minus my cut of it. So originally I told you to write a note for 100 because you took 50 from my master and I was going to charge you 50 myself. Well, here's that note back for 100, write one for just the 50 that you actually owe, and I'm not going to take my cut anymore. And this way, in his thinking, now once he gets fired, these people will like him, because they haven't he didn't rip them off. He had been ripping them off, he had been taking his own cut, but he's giving them back his own cut, so that he kind of falls into good graces with them, so that once he's fired, they'll like him. And they'll say, oh, you were that guy who dealt honestly with me. I really only owed 50, and you only charged me 50. You didn't take your own cut. You returned that. So he's doing this now so that he has a job, if you will, lined up for him, so that he's in good graces with his master's debtor. That's what's going on here. And the Lord, in this parable, talks about how this guy is prudent. He says, the master of the steward commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. I would submit to you that this is a type of prudence. It's a false prudence. It's a worldly prudence. And the Lord contrasts this with true prudence and calls us to a true prudence. And what is prudence? Prudence is right reason in a practical sense. St. Thomas Aquinas called it the charioteer of virtues. There are the four, prudence is, of course, one of the four cardinal virtues. He called it the charioteer of virtues. But that's true prudence, because prudence's end can become perverted, as happened with this dishonest steward. Instead of trying to be a good, holy steward, He fell into this habit of taking his own cut of things, and whatever he did, we don't know exactly, but whatever he did to get him fired in the first place, he obviously fell out of pleasure with his own master. And this is the same kind of worldly prudence that the prophet Amos kind of decries in the first reading that we heard. The prophet Amos is chastising these people who put up a false front. They say, when will the new moon be over? When will the feast be over so that we can go back to our work of gypping people, of selling things for a higher price? But why do they want to know when the new moon is over? Why do they want to know when the feast is over? Because they want to give the front of being good, holy Jews. So they say, you know, of course, we're good, holy people. We observe the new moon celebrations. We observe the feast. And so you would think, oh, well, this must be a good, holy person. I'll do business with them. And, of course, they're not. They observe the feasts, they observe the celebrations precisely so that others will think that they're good people with whom they should do business, when, in fact, they are not good people. And they plan on ripping them off just like anyone else would rip them off. Except what's worse is they're trying to hide it. You know, if you're going to rip someone off, at least be honest about it. You know? But with these people that Amos is decrying in the first reading is people who would still present themselves as good, holy people despite the fact that they're planning on ripping you off. That is a worldly prudence. I mean, it makes sense, right? To this day, if you're running a business, and I don't want to sound like I'm bashing those of you out there who are business owners, I'm sure there are some, but if you're running a business, and you're trying to outdo your competitors, it makes sense that you are going to want to kind of put up a front that people are going to see you and think, oh, I should do business with that person because they're a parishioner at IHM. I know them. They come to daily mass. They pray all the time. They must be good, holy people. I'll do business with them because they won't rip me off. They'll do the job right. Now, don't get me wrong. I would hope that those people that, you know, I hope that all of us are good, holy people and we're not doing that, but you see that it would be in our best interest, right? If I wanted to make an extra buck, I would go out of my way to present myself as a good, holy person who's not going to rip you off. That's worldly prudence. That makes sense. If I'm just looking out for myself, it makes sense that I would do that, doesn't it? At the end of the Gospel, the Lord makes it very clear, though, that we can only serve one. We can only serve one master, God or mammon. What is mammon? Mammon is basically a word that means property, possession, right? Worldly things. And the point is that we can only serve one of those two. Now, let's say this right now to make this clear. Possessions, worldly things, they are not bad in and of themselves. They are good insofar as they help us on the way to the kingdom, and so we should use them insofar as they help us, and we should reject them insofar as they pull us away from doing what we're supposed to do. But they're not bad in and of themselves. Nothing is bad with wealth, with possessions. But as the saying goes, we need to possess our possessions and not let them possess us. We need to use them insofar as they're good, reject them insofar as they're bad. It's when we allow them to possess us. It's when they, mammon, property, possessions, worldly things, it's when they become our God, our master, that we are therefore unable to serve he who should be our master. And as the Lord says, you can't have two masters. You'll hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In the second reading we heard from Paul's letter to Timothy, he gives us this picture of how life should be when we serve God alone. When we use possessions insofar as they're good, and we reject them insofar as they're bad, and we serve God alone, that we live together in peace and harmony and truth. So I would just encourage us today, and I would leave us with this image, that we may seek a true prudence, a prudence whose end is God, and whose end is not mammon, whose end is not worldly things to which we can become attached and which can end up possessing us. That we recognize the truth in what the Lord is saying, and that we also keep an eye out for false prudence, because again, it's a very easy trap to fall into. Not that we become suspicious of our brothers and sisters, but that we watch out for it ourselves. That we can steer clear of doing things for other reasons. You know, we should be living the Christian life because it deserves to be lived. It is its own reward. We should be seeking communion with God because communion with God is its own reward. We need to make sure that we're doing things for the right reasons, because we can do the right things for the wrong reasons. We need to make sure that we are constantly examining and more purifying our intentions. That we are doing the right things, but not just that, the right things for the right reasons. And that we recognize that we only have that one master, our Father in heaven. Let us pray for that grace today and this week.